This is the Agribusiness Report. USDA out with their World Ag Supply Demand Estimates on Friday. Corn production forecasted 30 million bushels lower. Harvested area lowered 437,000 acres. Partly offsets a half bushel per acre increase in the national average corn yield to 168 bushels per acre. Soybean production forecast at 3.888 million bushels. That's down 47 million. Higher yields only partly offsetting the reduced harvested area. Soybean yield forecast 47.2 bushels per acre. That's up 1/10 of a bushel from the September forecast. Exports for beans in 15-16 reduced 50 million bushels to 1.675 million on the slow pace of sales and increased competitor supplies. Projected wheat stocks, ending stocks, lowered 14 million bushels as decreased production more than offsets a decline in total use. Production lowered 84 million bushels on the latest estimate from NASS and their small grains 2015 summary. And the cotton numbers include marginally lower production and ending stocks relative to last month. With prices reduced sharply, production lowered 90,000 bales, domestic meal use and exports unchanged. Ending stocks now projected 3.1 million bales, or 22% of total use. Speaking of cotton, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, retired cotton economist and professor emeritus at Mississippi State University, says,
well, the much-awaited October supply-demand report was released Friday at noon, and with much enlightenment, I might say, though the market showed little change, there were a few surprises, but the estimates for the U.S. crop were well expected, generally as well as were those for the world situation. Yet, it's far too common USDA made historical adjustments which are just impossible to gauge, but I both respect and appreciate the USDA's persistent efforts to get it right, so to speak, so I can't complain about that. I'm probably one of the first to be flagged for piling on USDA, but I also know that they are a major and highly respected part of the market news and analysis service, and their mission is paramount to the world cotton industry, but more so paramount to the U.S. cotton grower. So in that regard, they're our best friend. They're my best friend. And you really kind of just pick on your friends, so to speak. Well, the U.S. crop was lowered 100,000 bales, down to 13.2 million. I would say look for that to be at least another 100,000 bales lower as the season progresses, and possibly as much as 200,000 by year end. Exports were left unchanged at 10.2 million bales, as was domestic consumption. But the smaller crop did take carryover stocks down 100,000 bales, so we've got that down now to 3.1 million bales. I think this we can look probably at seeing ending stocks come down possibly as low as 2.8, 2.9 million, but certainly down to 3 million and probably at 200,000 below where we are right now. Of course, that'll be out to July 31, 2016. I think we do need to remember that the estimate of ending stocks represents only about 22% of our annual total usage, so stocks are quite tight, and we will pay attention to that today and certainly throughout the marketing season. But the world cotton situation, as by USDA, was summarized by a reduction, or can be summarized by a reduction in both production and consumption, but also, interestingly enough, an increase in world carryover, even though production and consumption were both lower. Well, I'd say that there's still a little black magic out there, and everywhere in the world for that matter, and in the cotton industry, but nothing certainly to hide by USDA. World production was reduced by 1.4 million bales, down to 107 million. World consumption was reduced about the same, 1.2 million. However, USDA did increase world beginning stocks about 900,000 bales, so that created a 700,000 bale increase in world carryover. So the carryover comes from prior years, not from what's going on this year. The major changes in the report were from the revised estimates of the Chinese production down 700,000 bales. And so we are now finally getting that crop down to about the 25 million bale I've been talking about for a long time. It's now 25.3 million. Could still come a little lower. We'll just have to see. We saw a 500,000 bale reduction in the Pakistani crop. That's probably a pretty good number now, down to 9.5 million. The Brazilian crop was lowered 100,000 bales. The Australian crop was lowered the Brazilian crop was off a couple hundred thousand bales. Australian crop was 100,000 bales lower. And the African frank zone, Mali, basically was increased about 400,000 bales, a little bit more than that. But I think these estimates, in my opinion, tend to be very solid and very much up to date, and I applaud USDA for making major adjustments both in China and Pakistan this early in the production season. That's not something they've had a tendency to do, but I would say, maybe it's just because I agree with them, to say I would just say, yeah, right on, that's a good decision. Let's not be too complimentary too quick, and let me pile on a little bit. I'm very much of the opinion that USDA has the Indian crop at least a minimum of 1 million bales too high, and probably overestimated by 1.5 million to 2 million bales. And I think most everybody understands that crop's much smaller, but USDA is just not willing yet to go out on the line and say how much smaller. Regardless, year-ending world stocks are still some 3 to 5 million bales overestimated, in my opinion. Even at that, we're still going to have world carryover north of 100 million bales, and that's many people would argue that's just too much cotton to allow for any price rally. But yeah, it's hard to disagree with that, but maybe not. I think as we dig into the numbers just a little bit further, we'll see that, as I mentioned earlier, U.S. ending stocks at 3.1 million bales and headed down to 2.9, 2.8, 3.0 million bales anyway. I mentioned the Australian ending stock being down lower, only 101.4 million bales of those. The Brazilian stocks were down this month, 200,000, and they're going to be down at least 100,000, what we can pick up. So what we're seeing is that the ending stocks of the much-demanded U.S., Brazilian, and Australian cotton were down 400,000 bales this month alone, and expectations are that those reductions before the end is out will be down 800,000 bales by year's end. Now, that's not another 800, that's another 400,000 where we are today. So that's a significant decrease in quality cotton. So in this report, what we don't see spelled out per se, unless you dig into these numbers, is that high-quality cotton just became more expensive. Now, granted, the New York ICE contract is a 41.434 market. We do know that the world markets are 31.335, but also we also know that quality cotton markets are 31.336 or longer. So real price differences are paid by mills seeking high quality and paid by mills seeking staple lengths 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41. Now, the USDA CCC loan schedule does not even include the 39, 40, 41 staple lengths. You can say this, or I would contend from time to time it doesn't include the 38s because it's got 37 and 38. For the most part, we can say it paid the same thing. But the 39, 40, 41 is not even in that database. So, that being said, maybe I could just stand corrected on hiding things. The USDA CCC loan schedule does actually hide from the market the true value of staple lengths of that long. Certainly that's not intentional. It's just the way it's set up, but it does, in fact, distort market. It makes it very difficult. It makes it impossible for the grower to get his fair share of the enhanced price premium that mills are paying. Consequently, it's even more likely, in my opinion, that the spot market differentials would be reflected, even though those differences actually exist. Now, don't get too carried away here. The loan schedule does not reflect premiums for today's long staple upland cotton, is what I'm saying. And additionally, because of that, the spot market reporting is handcuffed by the highly restricted and by the nature of the changing cotton industry. Now, these restrictions challenge the issue of observing a true price differential, I would say to you, of actual cotton trading. And certainly I have to very readily applaud the spot market differentials, the people that collect that data and the in-house calculations they make. That's certainly not under scrutiny, and neither should it be. It's just a set of rules that they have to go by that need to be looked at very, very closely and should be scrutinized considerably. I would also come back and say on a positive note, to jump into exports, the market received a very strong psychological boost this week from the weekly export sales report. Now, current market sales for the week were 210,000 roughly, running bales of 210,000 running bales of Oakland, about 3,000 bales of Pima. And as we like to see, Mexico, Vietnam, Turkey were the major buyers. Certainly Vietnam, Turkey are major two customers. Mexico, from time to time, is a major buyer because most of their cotton is U.S. cotton, and they buy some volume from time to time. But the real boost came out of Mexico, and it came on the purchase for 2016-17 delivery of right at 360,000 bales. A very huge purchase. This represents about 20% of the total annual consumption by the country of Mexico. And the idea of booking such a large portion of their needs at one time and for as much as 9 to 21 months out suggests that certainly someone other than myself is thinking that cotton prices are higher. I think cotton remains well underpriced, and we've got some glory days still in front of us. So have a good week.
Dr. O.A. Cleveland, it's the Agribusiness Report.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Managing your cotton crop with precision technologies may help maximize the efficiency use of inputs, often increasing yields while lowering a farm's environmental impact. Cotton yield monitors, now standard in new cotton pickers, provide in-field variability maps that show the real benefits. Learn more about cotton yield monitors at cottoninc.com. The Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated, increasing the demand for and profitability of cotton.